these years, but it's good to have him on. Dennis Lawrence Cuddy, historian and political analyst, received a PhD from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, major in American history, minor in political science. Dr. Cuddy has taught university level, has been a political and economic risk analysis analyst for international consulting firm, has been a senior associate with the U.S. Department of Education. He's also testified before members of Congress on behalf of the U.S. Department of Justice. Dr. Cuddy has authored or edited 17 books and booklets and has written hundreds of articles appearing in newspapers around the nation, including the Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, USA Today. He has been a guest on numerous radio talk shows, and now he's here with us, and he really digs out. I like his books because, you know, he doesn't say they plan to dumb us down and enslave us, worse than Nazi Germany. He has the globalists saying it in his books, and when and where they said it, how they're going to break the family up, how they're going to force drug you, how they're going to take your guns. Dr. Cuddy, great to have you on the show today.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Launch into it. I love your new book about 9-1-1, but what are we facing right now? How do we stop the New World Order? What is the New World Order?
Well, the New World Order is a concept that goes back many years. When George Herbert Walker Bush used it, everybody thought it was something of a new term, but H.G. Wells, the famous author, had a book by that name back in 1939, and even earlier than that, you find books by that title.
By the way, folks can download that for free at prisonplanet.com. It's online, where they call for a world government. Adolf Hitler called for it. Joseph Stalin called for it. All these guys called for it.
That's correct. And the plan goes back many years. There's several branches to it. On the one hand, you have Cecil Rhodes' plan to take over, as he said, to take the government of the whole world using Rhodes scholars like Bill Clinton and others. And there's another avenue of it that goes through the Fabian Socialist. Now they're called the Third Way. There's another branch of it, Skull and Bones. This is the Bushes and some other individuals. But they're all moving in what Wells called, and I'll get to how that applies right now, to a synthesis. What they're doing is they're trying to synthesize Eastern communism and Western capitalism into a world socialist government. And in terms of how that plays out with this current escapade in Iraq, the thesis is that the UN should direct everything under UN resolutions. You should do what they say. The antithesis is that the Anglo-American alliance that Cecil Rhodes planned to run everything would be the dominant force. And the synthesis is that you combine the Anglo-American alliance with about 49 other nations, but nowhere near a majority of the UN. And so that's what's happened. It's a dialectic that constantly goes on over the years.
Wow, we need to have you on more often because no one seems to get this. About 4 years ago, I started seeing policy reports. They couldn't deny that there was a New World Order anymore. You know, you were crazy before to talk about it, as presidents said it. Now they read their own reports and policy papers, their own white papers. So I started seeing the left say, okay, there is a world government. Will the left control it or will the right? So going back to the left-right paradigm, the false system, what we're going to have is the UN playing the part of the good cop, America kind of as the new Soviet Union, chewing up, grabbing the countries up, getting them under globalist control when the same bankers own it all, own the UN, own the Anglo-American establishment that Quigley talked about. But they need to create the illusion globally that there's a choice inside this New World Order, making the UN play the part of the good guy.
That's right. And when you mention the bankers, and as you I appreciate your mentioning, I let the people speak for themselves. I try and put these documents, letters signed by Churchill or Roosevelt, and one letter that I include in the book The Globalist is FDR writing to Colonel House, Woodrow Wilson's chief advisor, saying the real truth of the matter is you and I know that a financial element in our larger centers has owned our government ever since the days of Andrew Jackson. So you're right on that.
Well, old House, is he lived right down the road from me here in Austin.
Yeah, his father just, I mean, his grandfather just happened to be one of the very few people that came out of the Civil War making a lot of money.
And, of course, that was manipulated by the British on both sides. So how do we stop the New World Order? How do we educate the left and the right that they're really just part of a phony system?
Well, the first thing, you have to crack through their predisposition to think you're a nut if you talk about conspiracy theories. And the best way to do that is, the way I do it is I set them up by saying, suppose I told you there was a power somewhere so complete, so pervasive, so interlocked, so watchful, you better not speak above your breath if you speak in condemnation of it. After they get finished laughing in my face for a while, I say, well, I didn't say that. One of your heroes, Woodrow Wilson, said that. Now you've got their attention. And so you bring them up to today and explain how this is happening, how through, let's say, Tavistock, British intelligence and so forth, they had developed a theory, for example, called the theory of social turbulence, where through a number of crises, emotional crises, they cause people to go into psychological retreat. You get turned off of things. You don't
they found that if you agitate a colony of rats long enough, they kind of submit and become docile.
That's right. That's right. And so this is very scientific. Way, way back, Edward Bernays, the father of public opinion, said we, in effect, he was writing this in 1928 when he became the chief advisor to CBS's William Paley. He wrote a book, Propaganda, where he says we're like a government. We know how to manipulate you, and that's what we're going to do.
And now they're getting rid of all pretense that they're fair and balanced. It is now they've removed the left-right debate, and it's just, oh, we're this big imperial army. We're now seeing the war emperor or with his troops every day in military outfits. They're following the old patterns, as you said, with the overlay of technology.
That's right. It's what I've called the techno-feudal, F-E-U-D-A-L, society of the future, and that was 100 years ago in a book called Our Benevolent Feudalism, where they mapped this out.
Yeah, I guess I just spontaneously came up with my own term without reading that, neo-feudalism.
Sure. That's, yeah, it is that.
Well, what is feudalism? Because before 100 years ago, Dr. Cuddy, people knew that it was two types of governments. All the different varieties of tyranny on one side and liberty on the other, and it was always looked at according to freedom, at least in this country and the experiment here. Now it's shifted to that left-right debate where people can't even get to real discussions because, again, we're always caught up in the two phony choices.
Right, and two things. First of all, politically, that was planned by the Skull and Bones Whitneys in the late 1800s, where they mapped out a plan whereby they would contribute to both Democrat and Republican left and right, and then they would deliberately alternate power among these politicians so that the stupid public would think they have a choice, but they didn't.
And it also adds, as you say in one of your books, that this they like to use competition.
The
agenda moves forward, but for the henchmen to get top positions, whoever can drive and manipulate the best gets the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated.
And there's various avenues. You had the Cecil Rhodes Avenue where they would, he said, penetrate journalism, economics, education, and politics and get their key people into certain places.
Council on Foreign Relations.
That was an outgrowth, right. The CFR was an outgrowth along with the Royal Institute for International Affairs. And Colonel House, you mentioned earlier, said if the First World War had not come in fierce and exaggerated form, they would not have been able to get that. And that's I'm glad you brought that up. That's another example of what you can throw into people's faces who are skeptics, because whenever you say the CFR, their eyes start to roll around and so on. So what I do is I say, okay, look, Bill Clinton, you're a liberal, let's say, I'm talking to. You're a liberal. You like Bill Clinton? Oh, yes. Well, his mentor, Carol Quigley at Georgetown, looked at the, quote, secret records of this power elite, and in his book, Tragedy and Hope, he said that these people, the CFR, is a front group for these people. Now, they may be skeptical. I say, okay, listen to this. Arthur Schlesinger, the year before that book, in 1,000 Days, his book in 1965, and he's a member of the CFR, said the same thing. It's a front group. The CFR is a front group for this power elite.
Well, that's the incredible thing. Their own publication, Foreign Affairs, says they're going to enslave us, going to dumb us down. They're saying it, and then you read it, and a cop on the street will say, Alex, we were given a briefing. We know that's code for terror. And I go, sir, CFR's on TV now. They don't exist. How do they brainwash them? How do the FBI training manuals, Dr. Cuddy, say that those that say there's a new world order are potential terrorists and it doesn't exist? How do they have presidents announcing it, but then doublethink saying it doesn't exist?
That's right. I hear the music, but I guess we're going to break.
Yes, we'll get the answer from Dr. Cuddy. Great to talk to him. We'll talk about some of his great books. I've read, I don't know, three or four of them. He's written 17. Control coming up, and we'll tell you about some of the websites and newspapers he writes for. Al will open the phones. I hope you can stay with us into the next hour, too, so we have plenty of time to take calls. And I got a bunch of current news and events I want to mention to him.
Thanks for listening to the M2K Talk Archives. And we are listener-supported with the Honor System. We ask that you wait. Don't donate a dollar at a time. PayPal charges a 35-cent surcharge on anything of a dollar or less. Wait till you listen to 5 or 10, and then donate, please. We appreciate your voluntary support.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher.
All right, my friends, we're talking to Dr. Dennis Cuddy.
The ring of fire.
Worked in and out of the federal government, written a whole bunch of books, really insightful, understands the paradigm we're facing. Neocons, a lot of them, these talk show hosts, are admitted beatniks, communist, turned conservative. A lot of the neocon leaders, daddies and mommies, were leading Marxist. Then they're hooked up with a weird Eastern establishment, Blue Blood clan, who hail from a place called the Tomb, Skull and Bones. I mean, we're talking about a collection of maniacs, but they know what they're doing. I think it's obvious, Dr. Cuddy, they're really moving in on one of the big steps in their final phase, aren't they?
Yeah, and there's, believe it or not, some time ago in Austin, Texas, connection to all this. I'll just do this really quick since you brought this up. William Crystal is editor of the Weekly Standard magazine.
Murdoch propaganda arm just called for New World Order yesterday.
That's right. And in fact, I'll digress just a minute because you were talking about how can these people say there's no New World Order. Usually, if you look at the CFR's Journal of Foreign Affairs, for example, in April of last year, what you had was President Bush was not really, he had already called Iraq and North Korea and Iran axis of evil, but he was dilly-dallying until the CFR's Foreign Affairs came out with an article saying, next stop, Baghdad. Then he walks into Condoleezza Rice's office and says, what are we going to do about Saddam? Same thing now. If you look at the May-June issue just come out of the CFR's Foreign Affairs, there's an article there by a Michael Glennon, I think his name is, and specifically using that term, that what we have to build here is a new world order through ad hoc coalitions of the willing. And so, once again, they're using the terms and they're mapping out the future. But in terms of William Crystal, let me give you, this will take 30 seconds or so, but it's interesting. William Crystal is the head of the Project for the New American Century, which had mapped out a lot of what happened regarding Iraq and the removal of Saddam and threatening, he's written letters, they have threatening retaliation against Iran and Syria if they don't comply with our wishes and so on. Some of these letters are signed also by other people, Richard Pearl, William Bennett, who's been in the news lately. Since I mentioned him.
By the way, Bennett's off running around with $1.4 million gambling debts.
Right. And the connection to Austin goes like this. William Crystal is where he is now. I believe, as you said, their daddies have something to do with this because of a plan. Try to be brief about this. Many years ago, William Bennett, when he was a young fellow, hooked up with William Sloan Coffin, the radical preacher back during the Vietnam War days, who was also a member of Skull and Bones and the CIA as well. And they were friends, and Sloan Coffin and some others at Williams College, where he was attending, said, why don't you go down to Austin, Texas, and there hook up with a, I forget, it begins with a K, it's a philosophy professor, where Bennett wrote a dissertation, which was rather strange and very short dissertation. And at the first of it, he says something to the effect, gentlemen even keep their promises even in hell. And this was sort of his dedication. And he gets out of there very quickly. In fact, he is attending Harvard Law School the first year of Harvard Law while he's still working on his dissertation, which told me his path was being greased at that time. He had hooked up with Irving Crystal's commentary magazine, and they were giving him publicity through book reviews. The next thing you know, Charles Frankel, who is on the editorial board of the Humanist magazine, gets Bennett to be his assistant at the National Humanities Center near where I live here, just a few miles away.
For folks that don't know, these guys, and it's admitted in the mainstream news, all come from communist, Marxist, socialist bent.
Yeah, the neocons, the Irving Kristols, his wife, Gertrude Himmelfarb, their partners, Norman Podhoretz and Mitch Dechter, who even in the 90s was the vice president of the League for Industrial Democracy, formerly titled the Intercollegiate Socialist Society, were old Trotskyites or whatever.
And but, Bush calls himself a communitarian. Well, that definition, one who promotes communist systems.
Yeah, if you look at Amitai Etzioni and the leaders of this, there's another one named Lott.
I want to stop you again. They're publicly saying New World Order, World Empire. Then when we say it, it doesn't exist, we're insane. They publicly say we are communist, we are communitarians, and we point it out. People go, how crazy? I mean, how do they get away with that?
Well, right now, if you ask them, they would not say we are communists. They'll say something else. But they flow from the old Trotskyite days years ago. And so what happened is, do I hear the music?
Yeah, we've got a few seconds left, but just stay there, Dr. Cuddy. I want to get into 911 with you, the book you've written. I want to talk about the globalist plan, how to stop them and take calls. Stay right there. We're honored to have you.
We're on the march. The empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Nuclear reactors.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
Folks, I'm going to tell you the truth. Our family's futures, our very lives hang in the balance. I have read globalist policy reports. I like to go to the Army War College. I have found a lot of what they're really going to do with the actual hardware of the police state. I mean, I read an Army War College report from 68 where they said that by 2000 they wanted inkless fingerprint readers to buy and sell. I read British Army Psychological Warfare manuals written in the 40s, and everything they talk about is being used on the nightly news, but with more sophistication. Now, Dr. Cuddy has a Ph.D. in this, has worked with the federal government, and comes highly recommended by Charlotte Iserby and others that we've had on. Now, when you read their plan to turn your kid into a crackhead, when you read their plan to make our economy a prison state, when you read the plan, and Dr. Cuddy isn't a great example of this. Bush wants to reaffirm the Clinton gun ban and magazine ban and wants more gun control, and the neocon, just creatures on talk radio, will not tell the listeners that. I mean, isn't this a great example to people of the fact that the Republican leadership isn't what they claim to be? And then we read articles about how there's this alliance and this love fest. Bush is having dinner with Charles Schumer. They love each other. What's really going on?
Again, Carol Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, said he wanted basically a system, the power elite, and him. Quigley loved these guys. He said these were the hope of the world. That you could, quote, kick the rascals out but not really change anything. And that's why even though you have Clinton supposedly different from the Bushes, they all support NAFTA and GATT, World Trade Organization, most favored nation status for China and so on. So
gun grabbing, open borders, supercomputers to communist China.
Yeah.
Clinton gave some of the computers to China. He was evil and bad, and yes, he was. Then Bush takes all restrictions off, and I heard Limbaugh go, so what?
The first President Bush's brother, while they were saying how horrible Tiananmen Square was over there making a satellite communications deal with those people while playing a bit of golf. And now I think one of them is trying to get in on, or is Neil, I guess it's Neil Bush, trying to get in on the Education Act over in Iraq with perhaps William Bennett as well. They may have something going themselves. But the plan, as you asked,
Wait a minute. Bennett needs some money, man. When you drop $1.4 million in a weekend, you got to, at the tracker at Atlantic City, you need some cash.
Well, yeah, but see, when you have a book like the Book of Virtues, which all these, as you said, the conservatives and Christians love, that includes a lot of Greek gods and goddesses, Castor and Pollux, when it's Yidus Thera at Heaven's Gate, where little Yidus Thera threatens God unless he can bring his doggy into heaven. He's not coming. And when you have the road to Tao, where it says not only should you not be greedy, you should do away with charity and good virtues too, because only then do you really have it made. And when you have Thomas Jefferson quoted as saying to a child, think about whether there's a God or not. If you come to the conclusion there's not one, that's okay too.
But Dr. Cuddy, isn't Skull and Bones a premier Christian organization?
A what?
Well, I mean, people say he's a born-again Christian. Don't talk bad about him. They're not a Christian.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, is it Skull and Bones then? Is it the order of death and Satan loving?
Not really. They hook up through various mechanisms with the Illuminati and other groups. And that's,
you know what? I'm jumping all over, and I apologize. I'm going to try to shut up here in a minute. Let me bring this forward. Are you aware that I snuck into Bohemian Grove?
Yes, sir. I've seen the video. Very good.
Well, I mean, I frankly couldn't believe it. I saw the news articles. The British media got me a map in, some of the code words from spies inside. And I frankly believe I was actually allowed to sneak in there now that I look at it as part of a larger throw-it-in-our-face move. But, I mean, this is out and out. Moloch, Satan worship, 101, Anton LaVey, you know, Marilyn Monroe, the same thing that you'd see at the little house in San Francisco I saw there with the Bushies. This is admitted, the Grove admits I went in. But still, you're not supposed to talk about it. How does the satanic element behind all this operate? You know, talk about the Illuminati, the history of this. Who are we really dealing with?
Well, first, did you see any people running around naked there?
It goes on for 15 days. I was there at the kickoff. David Gergen in the Washington Times said that they do indeed do that.
Yeah.
Spy Magazine admits that they ship in the male prostitutes. I didn't see that. I saw some weird behavior. I didn't show any, you know, I'm not going to go up and show old men and bank chairmen with their, well, I'm not going to, I saw some things. I saw mainly a strange urination ritual where two men walk up, pull their pants partially down, and then start urinating in front of each other. I didn't put that in the video. I had a hidden camera. I stayed away from the crowds. I got in, I hid out in the woods, I went and shot the ritual. So I didn't get a lot of that. I left. I was in there 4 hours. Supposedly, the rituals get crazier and crazier in the 2 weeks, but no, I didn't see any running around naked.
Yeah, I remember Gergen said, when they asked him if you're going this year, he said, no, I didn't want to see a bunch of old men running around naked, so I didn't.
Yeah, that's Washington Times. We only cover documented information as you do. So, again, I'll quit jumping in. What is the New World Order? What will life be like under it? How do we stop it? What is the Illuminati?
The Illuminati flows from, and that's, there's a connection with Iraq and what's going on here as well. The Illuminati, formed by Adam Weishaupt, was 1776, basically. There's more to it than that. But to make a long story short, they had thousands of members, including Goethe and Pestalozzi, who was an influence in the education in America, with their own code names, Avarice and some other names. John Dewey, his mentor was a G. Stanley Hall, who had gotten his Ph.D. over at Leipzig under Wilhelm Wundt, whose grandfather was codenamed Raphael with the Illuminati. And basically what they would do, they would hook themselves up as, let's say, tutors of Alexander the First in Russia. They would try and infiltrate. They went into the Parisian Outlaws League, fomented through Masonic lodges, often the French Revolution. And their attitude was to destroy religion, destroy the heads of government. And it, basically, people thought when the French Revolution said liberté, égalité, fraternité, it was like the U.S., but by liberté, they really meant license. And égalité meant a leveling of the masses. And fraternité really meant a brotherhood that would foster humanistic ideals.
By the way, MSNBC admits, when they talked to 100 Skull and Bones members, this is a few months ago, that they admit that in 1832, the German Illuminati came over with the Russell Trust and set up Skull and Bones. Please continue.
Okay, and at that time you had their slogans of the Russell Trust and Alfonso Taft and a lot of the people, the early members of Skull and Bones, would have similar mottos. They decided they were a sort of elite corps coming from a German elite corps. You would find swastikas in the tomb, as you call it sometimes. if you said they're Nazis or whatever, they say, no, this predates that.
Swastikas in the skull. I mean, there's World War One, and even before that, Prussian top generals would wear the skull on their hat, and they were part of the societies. Go ahead.
So you have these various connections with them that flow on up into to various segments of this elite mentality using the swastika. Cecil Rhodes' mentor was a John Ruskin. He has a swastika on his grave. Rudyard Kipling is a member of the Rhodes Trust. If you look at the cover of his early books, they have swastikas on it. It was used as the key to the city of Seattle has a swastika on banks. There was a lot of this, and Blavatsky, who was with the Theosophical Society, founded that, used the symbol as an elitist mentality. These were the elite that were supposed to govern over the masses for our own good. And that's the attitude that they pretty much bring up to today, and they use situations to further their goals. In terms of September 11th, what I try to do is I say, if there is this power elite, what might they do? And so prior to September 11th, in the book Secret Records Revealed, The Globalist, I said, the public could be conditioned by a terrorist attack so that they would be more willing to give up their freedoms in order to have peace and safety.
Well, that's what Hart and Rudman and Brzezinski and all of them say. That's what Northwoods says.
In 1962-ish. And so the very afternoon of September 11th, sure enough, ABC Washington Post comes out with a poll saying two-thirds of the public would be willing to give up some of our freedoms for peace and security and so forth.
As if when you give up liberty, you get freedom.
Right. It's the exact opposite of what our founder said. I think the quote is he was willing to give up his freedom, but it's not going to have peace and security anyway. So moving up to the current situation with Iraq, what I tried to do there was say, if this power elite is in control of things, and if there is a war, a military conflict in Iraq, what will happen? And I said, there's two possibilities. I said, if it's a staged war, it'll be over relatively soon, with relatively few casualties, even from chemical or biological weapons, and that's basically what happened. I said, because if it had been a real war, what you would have had is Saddam torching the oil fields, which he didn't, destroying the air bases, H-2 and H-3, in the western part of Iraq. He didn't. Destroying the Safwan Highway from Kuwait to Baghdad. He
Not a single bridge blown. And then it came out. Before the attack, they admitted that gold bars, goodies, were being given to all the Iraqi generals and leaders. Most of them had already agreed to give up, signed capitulation orders. And then after the war, they got on MSNBC, I have it on tape, and they said, a ridiculous conspiracy theory that our government paid them off and secretly flew Saddam out. And, of course, they'll probably grab some double and try him later. But Saddam was their CIA hitman in 1958. That's admitted.
Yeah, he was part of a trained six-man assassination team back then, which wasn't really the first time. We had in 1953, when the Iranians nationalized their oil field, Norman Schwarzkopf, the general's daddy, had just retired from the New Jersey State Police. And Alan Dulles, with a secret $10 million CIA slush fund, paid him to train soldiers to overthrow that government of Iran.
Yeah, he went to Saudi Arabia, and they lived there, and that's where little Schwartzy grew up.
Yeah, so there was a history to that thing.
And the bin Ladens go back for carrying out Her Majesty's activities. The bin Laden family's a tried and trusted little clan, too, aren't they?
They were also CIA assets, just like, in fact, Daddy Bush used to stay with the bin Ladens when he would visit over there. Still, you know, through Carlisle and some other aspects.
Well, now Bechtel's involved in it.
Yeah, that's George Shultz had been president, I think, of Bechtel he was Secretary of State under Reagan.
Of course, George Shultz, according to major press reports, likes to take part in the rituals of Bohemian Grove, but that's part of being a Christian.
That's right, and he's one of the Vulcans, as they call him, that trained George W. Bush to become president.
Now, they have all these weird names. They call him Prince of Darkness, Vulcan. What are the different little code levels they have?
They come up with all sorts of nicknames for them and
some are called
names.
Death leaders. These are loving Christians. These are
if you say so. But a lot of people would say who scoff at what you say about New World Order or whatever. They're reliant upon the press, and so whenever they say, "Well, gee, Dan Rather would have told me something about this," I say, "Look, This is very simple. It's been 18 months since September 11th, right? Oh, yeah, 18 months. And I say, look, has Dan Rather bothered at any time to tell you on the nightly news why on September 10th of 2001, some top Pentagon officials suddenly picked up the phone and canceled their flight plans for the next morning because of security concerns?
Has anybody asked why the FAA told Mayor Willie Brown of San Francisco not to fly to New York that day, or why Salman Rushdie in the Times of London called and asked the FAA? They admitted he was banned, quote, for his safety from flying that month. No one's asked why Bush was on Cipro, the anthrax-fighting antibiotic, September 10th with his cabinet, 4 weeks before it showed up Boca Raton. No one's asked why three of the so-called hijackers were trained at Pensacola Naval Air Station, the defense language, why the head of Pakistan intelligence wired $100,000 to ADA, and why the head of Pakistan intelligence was there at the White House in Capitol Hill the week before 9-1-1. No one's asked any of these questions, have they? No one's asked why the AP reported that the CIA was doing a drill that morning of flying jets into buildings in New York and D.C., quote, their cover for why NORAD stood down.
Yeah, and that the same outfit had a similar drill the year before, and nobody picked up on that either.
Well, they had the drill that morning at that very time.
Right.
Just
the
drill, of course.
Right.
That way, if you get compartmentalization breaking down and spilling over, other people at the Pentagon or CIA going, hey, what's going on? Oh, just a drill.
Yeah, that's right. They have all sorts of capabilities that we don't know about. If you told people, let's say that they were altering your brain waves, they look at you like you were some kind of idiot. So that's why, for example, in the Globalist, I actually put the patent number since 1976 where they've been able remotely, they don't even have to put the electrodes in your head, remotely alter your brainwaves.
Well, wait, I had the CEO on last year. The Koch machines are about to come out with a beam that transmits where only you can hear it. Hey, have an ice cold Coke, and soon off face scan it'll say your name to you.
Yeah. So what you have to do is manipulate the public, and that's why I think we had a close election. People say, oh, my goodness, you know, we can't criticize George W. Bush because if we do, then those nasty old liberal Democrats will be back in control.
But George Bush and Chuckie Schumer vote to federalize the elections and put in the touchscreens out of the crisis.
And it wasn't Bill Clinton who had federal agents go into Pastor Dixon's Indiana church and drag him and some members of his congregation out either, was it?
No, it wasn't. It was the Skull and Bones pastor that launched that attack.
So,
isn't Anton LaVey a good Christian man then, Dr. Cuddy? Well, I mean, you know, you wear black outfits, you worship Satan. Isn't that a Christian thing to do?
No, neither is Aleister Crowley.
Why do all these neocon Christian leaders say submit to world government now, microchips aren't that bad, forced abortion's really okay over in China? Isn't that all Christian now? Isn't it us that has a problem?
No, it's really not. And
why suddenly do we see all the big Christian leaders telling us to submit to all this?
Did you say why are they?
Yeah, suddenly they're all telling us how good it is.
Yeah, because of what I just said, the election was close. As long as you have the alternation of power that Quigley said the Skull and Bones plan had back under the Whitneys, that you have a Skull and Bones Bush replaced by a Rhodes Scholar Clinton replaced by a Skull and Bones George W. Bush.
Now, what about this election? We've got a Skull and Bones Kerry as the leader for the Democrats against a Skull and Bones Bush.
Well, that would guarantee the 8 years, just like Clinton had 8 years. So if that were to occur, I don't think it will. I don't think Kerry's going to make it. But if it were to occur, then that would – see, one thing they do that people looking for a conspiracy say, okay, what is their plan? Actually, their plan has several variations and alternatives, so they can make adjustments. That's why they really didn't have to call up 19 people and tell them to fly into the World Trade Center. What they did years ago was set up a mechanism whereby...
Set up the CIA, find the young, ignorant Arabs, get them involved, have them seen at the scene over and over again. Tell you what, stay there, Dr. Cuddy, and can you hold with us into the next hour?
Well, Violet said a half hour to an hour, so I guess I better go at the end.
Cuddy has agreed to stay with us for another 25 minutes, 20 minutes into the next hour. That way we'll have time to take your calls. I know we've got folks already holding, wanting to talk to him, like Wayne and others. The toll-free number to join us, and this guy really is an expert on the New World Order, 1-800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. And everything he covers in his books is from public record documents, the globalist own statements. It's like Gary Hart in My Film Road to Tyranny saying, we're going to use this disaster 911 for the New World Order. The Project for New American Century that Dr. Cuddy mentioned is Jeb Bush and Rumsfeld and Bush and Wolfowitz and Pearl saying, we need a Pearl Harbor catastrophic event to get our New World Order. We need to be attacked so we can take over. Saddam isn't a threat. We want the oil. We want a military base to attack everybody. World War III, 100-year war, take everybody's rights. Ha, ha, ha. It's all public. And I've made a new film, my friends, Police State 3, Total Enslavement. And, you know, my videos just get better as they go along. This new one is amazing. 2 hours and 37 minutes long. Totally jam-packed. You want to know a giant overview of what they're doing to you and what they plan to do to you, get the video. In fact, you can get the three Police State videos for $60. The films are $25.95 a piece, $20 if you order three or more a piece. My book is only $12, 911, Descent into Tyranny. I have my other 911 films as well. Please go to Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com and order via our secure online shopping cart. Or call toll-free today, right now, and you're authorized to make copies of my films for nonprofit educational purposes. Get them. They're waking up 90% of those that will watch them. The toll-free number to order, 1-888-253-3139. That's 888-253-3139, or Infowars.com or net. Or just write to me, Alex Jones, at 3001 South Lamar, Suite 100, Austin, Texas, 78704. Take action, expose the terrorists, expose the true evildoers. You know, Dr. Cuddy, Bush gives a lot of speeches. He gave one at the Pentagon talking about a dark cult of evil. No one knows the power of evil. The men that did the hijackings were instruments of this dark cult of evil. There's a lot of double meanings with these people. You get into that in your books. What are the books you recommend to the listeners of this show, and how do they get them?
Well, there's a number of books. I guess the main ones would be the current one that's just coming out. It's called Cover Up, Government Spin or Truth. It deals with the September 11th issue and Iraq. As I said, I made some predictions, as well as our Vanishing Constitutional Rights. The one just before that was titled September 11th, Prior Knowledge, where I do some investigation and basically conclude that we had the information to know what would happen in advance. The one prior to that came out just prior to September 11th. That's called The Globalists, The Power Elite Exposed. I try and put some
actual
letters.
You got the textbooks for the kids, for the people going to college to be social workers, saying, we'll destroy the family. We must do it now.
Yeah, that's a plan from a long time ago. And
their own textbooks. How do folks get them?
Call toll-free 888-891-3300.
888-891-3300. 888-891-3300. Some of your books are in bookstores, correct?
They can be. Yeah,
they're in a lot of Christian bookstores.
Yes, that's true.
Those that don't believe Skull and Bones is Christian.
Right.
There's the new type of Christianity where, you know, Anton LaVey's a good guy, but we're not that type here. Sorry, folks.
Well, that's part of the plan, too. John Dewey had what he called a common faith, where he said dogmatic religions, dogmatic Christianity would have to surrender to this humanism.
And that's what they called for after 911, Coffee Anna. We need a world religion. All right, your calls for Dr. Dennis Cuddy. I'm Alex Jones. Third hour coming up. We'll be with us for about 20 minutes. We'll talk to Wayne and others. 1-800-259-9231. And remember, my new film, Police State 3, is now out.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right. right, my friends, already into the third and final hour of this Wednesday live edition. We do this show Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. until 2 p.m. Central Time and back from 9 to midnight Central Time with a rebroadcast of the daytime show from 1 a.m. to 4 a.m. The websites are Infowars.com and net. Talking to Dennis Lawrence Cuddy, Dennis Cuddy, historian, political analyst, Ph.D., University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, major in American history, minor in political science. Dr. Cuddy has taught at the university level and has been a political and economic risk analysis analyst for the international consulting firm and has been a senior associate with the U.S. Department of Education. He has also testified before members of the Congress on behalf of the U.S. Department of Justice. Dr. Cuddy has authored or edited 17 books and booklets and has written hundreds of articles appearing in newspapers around the nation. Dr. Cuddy, we routinely link to articles you've written. I know newswithviews.com carries some of your stuff. Where can people read some of your other insightful, lengthy articles?
Well, I have a book that's called American Commentary at that same toll-free number that says a collection of them. There are others, an article or two on a WorldNet Daily website.
I've got a link here to on Infowars.com to your expanded addendum to cover up government spin or truth, the 23-page analysis you did. I guess a segment from your new book.
Yeah, what happened was, of course, you know, as you know with your books, you write them in advance. And so a lot's happened during the last month, and there's a small addendum in the book cover-up. But so much has happened that I put an expanded addendum that you just referred to on newswithviews.com, where I go through basically what's happened and conclude with, as you said, about the Illuminati. Voltaire, who was behind the French Revolution, was hooked up with these people. And if you look at the Statue of Liberty, it came from the French Freemasons, really the liberté, don't impose morality, do your own thing, rather than...
Do as thou will.
Yeah, and what you find is that there are seven rays on her head, and the picture from ancient times of Semiramis, the goddess who founded Babylon, Iraq, is exactly like that with the seven rays, and Voltaire wrote a play called Semiramis, so there's this connection there.
Absolutely. Let's go to the calls. Let's talk to Wayne in Virginia. You're on the air with Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Thanks for holding.
Yes, sir. Dr. Cuddy, good to hear you today. You were starting out a little earlier with a development discussion on Mr. Crystal. I don't know if you quite got to it. I'd like to hear the rest of what you were going to tell us about Mr. Crystal.
Ultra commie.
And I also wanted to ask how you respond to those who say that due to the animosity between, you know, the posed or false animosity between the United States and Europe and Germany that the New World Order is dead.
Well, we talked about that, how it's a synthesis. We're playing the part of the bad cop. The UN plays the part of the good cop to keep everybody in the control, giving them two different versions of a New World Order, is what their policy reports have said, to bypass any discussion of not having a New World Order. Go ahead, Dr. Cuddy.
Does he have any documentation about anticipating that? I mean, his book...
Well, the globalists have said that in their own policy reports. I can dig them out. Go ahead, Dr. Cuddy.
Yeah, like I said, I try to include that in the cover-up, the current book, and September 11th and the other things. In terms of William Crystal, very quickly, where I was William Bennett became head of the Department of Education. Where I was, he brought William Crystal as his chief of staff. From there, he became chief of staff. Crystal did to Dan Quayle, and from there, he got his current position. And my point is, I think this was like a 25, 30-year plan of Irving Crystal, his daddy, who Alex mentioned.
Who was the socialist?
Well, they would say Trotskyites from years ago. Yeah.
The neocons are Trotskyite, but he wants police in black uniforms and all your liberties gone and a global government. Oh, they're so conservative, and Bush wants your guns. Anything else you want to add, Wayne?
So making Crystal chief of staff when Bush Sr.
Hey, well, stay there. I'll let you finish up on the other side, Wayne, and then we'll go to Randy and many others. 1-800-259-9231. Your calls for Dr. Dennis Cuddy. Coming up, I'm Alex Jones.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Controlling the left and right, controlling the outcome, controlling the debate, and I'm glad that Dennis Cuddy has this great understanding of the phony left-right system and how the UN's playing a part of the good cop of the third world as America's used as the muscle for the New World Order to take over the last few sovereign nations. We're not debating whether it's good people that run these nations or not. The point is, the big master plan is to totally dumb us down and dominate us. And before Dr. Cuddy leaves us, I want to ask him what life will be like under the New World Order's dreams if they're able to get everything they want. But right now, let's go back to Wayne in Virginia. Wayne, you had one more question for Dr. Cuddy. Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to know how on earth they were successful in getting this gentleman, Mr. Crystal, to be chief of staff of the bone that had been thrown to the conservative Christians at the time of Mr. Quayle's appointment as vice president. Was Bush running the whole thing?
Well, here's the question. How do we have the neocons, most of them, you know, right out of the loins of Trotskyites, calling for big government? How do they do this? And the answer is the media set up and played ball with the phony left-right system and never told you that. Go ahead, Doctor.
And that specifically, like I said, was part of a staged process. He could not have gotten that position unless he had been chief of staff to Bill Bennett. And that's why Irving Crystal, Bill Crystal's dad, was promoting Bill Bennett early on many, many years before.
All right, gentlemen.
All right, appreciate the call. Yeah, when you see all these neocons, I mean, you know, Michael Savage admitted, Beatnik admitted, you know, dirty commie, up there saying, line up Americans, put them in prisons if they criticize the government. I mean, they're on the air saying this. They're all in the same bag. And is it admitted Beatnik? It's funny, isn't it, Dr. Cuddy, to see Beatniks telling us that they're conservative. That's interesting, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And there's a third group. We had mentioned the Project of the New American Century and the Crystals, and then Gary Hart with the U.S. Commission on National Security. A third group, since you're in Texas, is a year before September 11th, the James Baker, former Secretary of State Institute, in joint operation with the CFR itself, funded a study heavily with oil people saying we need to secure the oil from the Caspian Sea area. That would be, you know, we were going to pump it down through Afghanistan, that Saddam was a threat to the Gulf oil. We needed to make economic and military assessments of what we could do, and if we somehow got a deal for the Iraq reserves, that would be a major asset.
And this is so they could just act smart and get it out to their low-level intellectuals. They've been getting ready for Gulf, too, since the end of the last one.
Yeah, in fact, in the first one, there was Bush, the first President Bush's primary concern was that we would not have a war, that Saddam would withdraw his forces. Colin Powell and Baker were going to go over the negotiations, and at that moment, Bush Sr. and Brent Scowcroft looked at each other and said, no, we have to have this war. And so my inclination is that George W. Bush had to have this war.
And now they're already, have you seen the incredible, insane statements of, we're going to go ahead and invade more countries, yeah, others are next, and they're threatening psychopaths with nukes, saying, and then Rumsfeld's little document gets released saying they're going to start bombing North Korea this October. I mean, is that not like trying to push the Japanese to launch a Pearl Harbor?
The North Koreans, yeah. Kim Il-jung, and then, yeah, the threat to that region is clear, but you have to remember what you said earlier about dumbing the people down. For example, Bush, when you had 9/11 and he was going to have an investigation, he appoints Henry Kissinger. All right? If the public would have even the slightest knowledge about Henry Kissinger, they would say, why are you putting in charge of this investigation a man who has called our soldiers, quote, dumb animals to be used in the furtherance of our foreign policy?
And the guy publicly says this, and we call him a conservative, because the neocons won't tell us. And on top of it, now the guy they're going to have run Iraq turns out worked for Kissinger Associates. Kissinger's involved in all of this. That's like having Joseph Mengele investigate Hitler.
Yeah, and Kissinger's also hooked up with McLarty, Mac McLarty now. So it's McLarty, Kissinger, and Associates. They're branching out.
How did Pearl get the nickname Prince of Darkness?
Oh, I think that was an appellation given to him by his detractors. He looks sort of very stern and always serious, and I think there have been plays that have involved, quote, the Prince of Darkness, and he has some look like that.
Well, yeah, he glows kind of that, you know, people that really have that glow-in-the-dark look. But we don't care about what he looks like, it's what he says. Randy in Georgia, you're on the air. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. I've been listening to you for months, and, you know, it's not something that you want to believe, but the more you guys go on, the more of an intent I begin to believe it, because I watch the events that are predicted and the way things are going.
Well, I mean, when Knight Ridder newspaper says neocons want New World Order, Bush wants your guns, I mean, supercomputers of China, open borders, campaign finance reform. I mean, this guy is Bill Clinton on steroids.
Antichrist is what it seems like.
No, sir, Skull and Bones is a Christian organization. Please don't attack this Christian president again.
Oh, well, we wouldn't want to do that, but, you know.
I mean, you'll ask your ask your preacher if you can come to the Baptist church if you start wearing an Anton LaVey suit. And then when he has a problem with it, say, wait a minute, this is what the president wears. I'm sorry, go ahead. I'm not kidding about that, by the way. They caught video of it. They dressed up in satanic outfits. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't know what where you got the term neocons, but I think it's more appropriate that you call them pseudo-cons.
Well, that's really what they are. Dr. Cuddy, you want to tell them where neocon comes from?
Yeah, many years ago you had your basically traditional conservatives and throughout the first part of the 20th century, and then there were these leftist Trotskyite types, socialists. As I said, Midge Dechter, who's part of these, was a vice president of what had been called the Intercollegiate Socialist Society.
They're admitted infiltrators.
Yeah, and they basically started to have a problem with the direction they saw the Soviet Union going and persecution against Jews and in other people and so on. And so in terms of foreign policy, they had a shift to conservative. Now, on domestic agenda, sometimes they're not. But in foreign policy, they had a shift, and so they came to this type of, quote, conservatism late. But they're
not
really,
what we're supposed to believe.
But yeah, that's right. They're really not, quote, conservative in the traditional sense of it. And they have come to dominate it so much that even Ted Koppel on Nightline had a program talking about the PNAC project, the New American Century, and he had a Professor Lustig on there from Pennsylvania, and he said, these guys, quote, control the White House now.
Okay, I can get that. My question is this, okay. The average Joe doesn't have a lot of time to devote to really, you know, winnowing the truth.
Yeah, but I bet that average Joe knows all the, hold on, I bet that average Joe knows all the baseball scores. I bet he's got plenty of time in to go to the fancy restaurant and eat T-bones.
Well, you're right. I mean,
well, he's going to have to make time. He's not going to have a job. His kids are going to be in prison. He's not going to have a life.
Right. You have to make a concerted effort, and there comes to a point where you tumble to that. My suggestion is this, or I'm asking for information. You may know something. What is the best place to find, like, PDF documents, you know, that are easily downloadable?
Well, are you saying the average Joe isn't going to read a PDF document? That's PrisonPlanet.com, Infowars.com.
Mm-hmm.
My videos are tailor-made for the general public.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't stupid. They're just not into reading giant dossiers and stuff. I mean, Cuddy's books are good. They're very readable and very frightening. So, you know, it's like reading a nightmare novel, but it's real. I get some of his books, but I have to tell you, my videos are waking up 90% of those that see him. Thanks for the call, Randy. Dr. Cuddy, not a selfless plug, but I didn't know you'd seen some of my videos. What videos have you seen?
The police state, I think, 2, and the 9/11 one.
What did you think of the videos?
Pretty good. I liked basically the live shots, for example, where the federal agent there is in Kansas or wherever he is and telling the seminar that our founders could be considered terrorists. That's stuff like that.
And the training manuals that Christians are terrorists, homeschoolers. Yeah, that's kind of a wake-up call.
Yeah, from the Phoenix office.
I mean, if they would have put that in the movie Red Dawn, we'd have gone, those darn commies. But here in America, it's, oh, wow, they're friendly. Let's talk to John in Florida. John, you're on the air with Dr. Cuddy.
Yes, good afternoon. Good to hear you, Alex. Thank you very much for the interview with Dr. Cuddy today. It's excellent. Dr. Cuddy, you're at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
No, I was, and then I went to the U.S. Department of Education in Washington, and now I'm back writing.
Incidentally, was that your wake-up call being inside there?
Who, me?
Yes, sir.
No, I had been, I think, unbeknownst to me, I was being groomed to be one of these people in the early 60s. I went to Carnegie-funded first governor's school in the nation, and they asked us some strange questions, and so I got the private papers between the tester and the Psychological Corporation in New York, where they wanted to keep tabs on us.
For those that don't know, that's how the Illuminati did it with the Masons, is they give you questionnaires, you know, will you do this,
yeah.
will you do that, what's
that's
your
right.
view?
Yeah.
Hey, doctor?
Yes, sir.
How's your family name spelled, please?
C-U-D-D-Y.
Uh-huh. Okay. I have an anecdotal comment and a question. Back in 1960, I purchased at a used bookstore two publications by Adolf Hitler. First was Mein Kampf that I read. The second was a book of all of his written and spoken speeches called The New Order, which is a book that most people are unaware of. That
right. were, I got Hitler on tape saying we will build a new world order.
These are hardcover books printed by a prestigious New York City publishing firm.
Well, let's get a comment from Dr. Cuddy on that.
Uh-huh. Well, my question also is, are you aware of, like, the NATO symbol of the swastikas that are concealed, very well camouflaged within the NATO four-pointed star and the interrupted circles?
No, but I know there are little swastikas on the primary temple of the Scottish Rite in Washington, and the National Security Agency symbol also is bothersome. I hear the music, though.
Yeah, folks, they're the cultist. It's a sun god symbol. Dr. Cuddy, do five more minutes with us, because I want to come back and plug your books again, and I want to take a call from Tom in California, and that'll be it for calls for our guest. One more quick segment with our guest, just a little five-minute segment, and then I'm going to get into all some of the news I haven't covered yet, the incredible corruption, a bunch of world events, and some gun grabbing by the neocons.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, our final segment with Dr. Dennis Cuddy. I'll be back with the last half of this hour getting into the news we haven't gotten to yet. Believe me, it's very important, so stay with us. The New World Order is a real thing. The devil's biggest trick was convincing the world he didn't exist. They've done that. Now it's in your face. All these years we warned you, now it's in your face. Your police are dressed up like Nazis. The control grid's being put in place. The new economy will be prisons and total domination. I want to take a few calls from Tom and Mike before we wrap up this interview, Dr. Cuddy, but what will life be like under the New World Order if they get their way?
Well, eventually, of course, biblically, you have an Antichrist. But before then, as you said, if you play the good cop, bad cop, what they hope to do is what Orwell said. They would quicken the tempo of human life, which they did. They wanted to keep the masses busy and entertained so that you would actually, as he said, come to love Big Brother. You would go along with the president if they wanted to get us into a war. You wouldn't ask too many questions and so forth. The introduction, though, you had to you have German troops here. We settled 8,000 Iraqi soldiers here after the first Gulf War.
Now they've signed deals to bring in Canadian, Mexican, Dutch.
Right, and the southern border is still a sieve. You got terrorists coming across there. But basically what you would have to do is have an external policing mechanism. So in 52, there was a map drawn of when the New World Order, world government, finally came about, what nations would be policing other nations. And according to that 1952 map, it said American forces would be in Yugoslavia where they are now, and Kazakhstan where they are now, and Australia where they are now, and so forth. And foreign troops, Mongolian Chinese troops would be in the lower part of California where, you know, Costco and
right here in Texas, Czechoslovakia, and just
right.
so happens that's who's here.
And the Russian troops would be from Fort Polk, Louisiana, up to Fort Riley, Kansas.
And I've got a copy of that publicly in the newspaper, and now today it's happening 50 years later. Let's take these calls.
Right.
We're just out of time here. Great information. He's right on target, folks. I guess that's the birthright of your children now will be to work for the Russians. We have, the new KGB chief to come save us. Tom in California, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. I was going to stray away from the subject a little. I just had a question since I have two experts online. Have either of you heard of the National Economic Security and Reformation Act? And if so,
disinformation operation, Dr. Cuddy?
I thought so. Well, I'll defer to you on that. Go on.
Okay, anything else?
No, that's all I had.
Yeah, the government's really good and secretly gave us all our rights back, Dr. Cuddy.
Thank you.
So you agree with that? I mean, it's ridiculous. Mike in Arizona, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. To what extent, Dr. Cuddy, are the like the Fortune 500 companies, what extent have they thrown their lots in with this New World Order agenda?
Well, you can't be their chairman or CEO unless you're with them. Go ahead, Dr. Cuddy.
Yeah, they've had to, for 30 years, they've been getting a lot or most of their profits from overseas, and it's the old Stalinist disunion for the purpose of union. You have to break down national loyalties, and then, according to Cecil Rhodes and Zbigniew Brzezinski recently, where he said, we'll have world government, but we have to have a regional approach, what you do is you'd have NAFTA linked up with the Asian consortium of economics, and then you would say, well, now we have a world economy, we have to have it managed by a world government.
Yeah, now we're so dependent on Mexico and Canada, Pan-American Union.
Right.
Now there's so many people across borders, got to merge the Social Security system. Let me give you a local example. If they can deindustrialize us, no factories, people are going to accept being prison guards as their job. They're going to accept being tattletale squads. They're going to accept this. They say America is going to be a police state enslavement grid that produces propaganda for the world. They've said that's what America will be, the armpit of Satan, literally.
Am I on? Okay, basically what you have is a push for that through economics, so that under NAFTA you have a lot of factories on the other side of the Mexican border, really making Mexico a 51st state without rules and regulations, and opening up that border towards a flood, and as they call it, reconquista of the Southwest. And so that way you break down the nation of the United States, and economics and your job and you're willing to have lower wages becomes more important to you than old-fashioned patriotism.
Thank you for joining us. Thanks for joining us, Dr. Cuddy. We'll be right back, folks.
Thank you.
Stay with us.